Like
Allegro
Europe
e-cup
that we
getting
keep
on.
saying.
Yes, it's going to be like an e-cup because
Thank you.
since it's the first time we're
Thank you,
using
sir.
this group. Yes, and if when you're addressing the group, you could just open your microphone. But if not, if you're talking like privately, you could just close back the microphone so that it won't disturb anyone. All right. Yes, so for we know that it's going to be like an e-cup getting on for the first time, but we pray God next week and week after that, God's willing, it will be easier to get on with. And the reason why we're switching over to Teams is because WhatsApp cannot accommodate us anymore. You know, the group is growing too large in names. Yeah, I know some people, because of job work situation, they're not able to come on every week and stuff, but their name is still recorded there. You know, so as soon as WhatsApp reach a certain limit, it pushes us off. Yes, so yeah, that's why we're here. Yes, so some people still have a little e-cup getting on, getting over from the regular WhatsApp. And with the advantage that we had with WhatsApp was we were able to like press a button and it would call everyone, your phone would be ringing. But with Teams, it doesn't ring your phone. You have to just log on to that link. It's not going to be ringing your phone anymore. It's just like at 8 o'clock, you just log on to the link. It's the same link every week, and you could go on to the Faith Defenders Bible Study Group. I still use it to like to send messages, so you could look at that group and you would see the link for this group. Amen. Yes, so as time goes by, we'll get accustomed to it. It will become like clockwork. And I don't think you have to like log on to the Teams. As soon as you click the link, as you only have to just download it. As soon as you click the link, it just take you to this meeting. Amen. All right. Let us pray because we're way past time. So let us pray. Kind, loving, and eternal Father, we want to give you thanks and we want to give you praise for your grace and for your mercies. You are so good to us. You're so kind to us. Lord God, though undeserving we are of your grace and your mercy, but you just extend kindness in matters in ways that we don't even expect. And so, Lord God, we just present ourselves to you this evening. We pray, mighty God, for your presence to be here with us, even as we would move from WhatsApp to Teams. We pray, mighty God, that communication will be audible and your presence will indwell us so to cause us to understand your word. Mighty God, we just hand over this session into your hand. We pray, mighty God, for those that are unavoidably absent. We pray for Sister Nicole that our son Matthew is not feeling well. He's sick, been coughing, and has asthma. Lord, I pray, place it under your blood right now. I pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will touch that cough, that throat. Yes, mighty God, that you will give him clearance. In the name of Jesus, the breathing, yes, mighty God, work on his airway even now and cause him to be completely whole. Lord, I speak your word into our situation right now, and I pray, God, for complete deliverance in Jesus' name. I pray, mighty God, for Sister Marva, who had asked for prayer during the week, mighty God, asking for a special breakthrough. Whatever she's going through, mighty God, you know about it. You know, mighty God, all that is happening in our circle of influence, in our circumstances, even now. And you're able, Lord, your word tells us that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may even ask or think, according to the power, your power that is at work within us. And so, mighty God, we are confident that you who has started a good work in us to cause us to recognize, mighty God, that we are not our own, but we belong to you, to cast all our cares upon you, Lord. You know about every situation, and you are able to mend every broken heart. You are able to come into every situation and make a difference. And so, Lord, change the atmosphere in and around your people even now, and let it be a season of rejoicing in Jesus' name. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen, amen, amen. I want to welcome you to another Bible study. It has been a whole long week since we have met. I know from time to time we have been sending out little reminders and little encouragement on the group. I know that when one person sends a reminder, send a text from the group, it goes to everyone. So bear with us, because sometimes during the week we have to give a, we have to shout an hallelujah. During the week we have to shout an hallelujah, and times, you know, don't let it be a disturbance to you, but let it be a season of rejoicing. And don't be afraid to send something to encourage the group. I see Auntie Lynette, she sends stuff, and it really encourages my heart. Send a prayer, send a hallelujah. Encourage the group, because it's not only a one-time praise we should have, but a continuous praise throughout the group and stuff. Keep us alive in the faith, because you don't know, maybe something you post can encourage someone that has been going through something, you know. So yeah, bear with us, and if it gets overwhelming for the notifications and stuff, you can always mute it, and when you have time, you can go back and look at the notifications. Encourage your brothers and sisters. We need that encouragement in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. So in this new platform, in order to speak, you'd have to come off mute and stop, because automatically when you log on, you're on mute and your video won't be showing. Amen. So if throughout the presentation you feel to contribute in any way, you can always come on and do it. While Sister Heather prepare to read the lesson that we're going to read today, is going to take in from Hebrew chapter 11, verse 23 to 29. We're still looking at Moses. Yes, we're still looking at Moses. You know, we had a beautiful time last week looking at Moses, and those of you who were here can really attest to the fact that indeed we have learned so much from Moses last week, and it's extensive. What we did last week is just only a little tickle of what we can learn from such great man of faith. Amen. Yes, so at this time we want to invite Sister Heather to read the scripture for us. Are you ready with it, Heather? Bless
yes.
God for you.
I'm ready.
Can you hear? Can you Amen. Hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Auntie.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, thanks.
Finally, amen, amen, amen. Yes,
okay.
Go ahead, Edda.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, sis.
Okay, good night, Sister Edda.
I'm going to read from Hebrews 11, 23 to 29, and it reads, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a reason, for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, has seen him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned.
Amen. Amen. So we got a little backdrop of what? Of Moses, you know, he preferred to suffer the affliction with the people of God more than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt for a season. You know, he renounced, when he came of age, he renounced all that he had known. Because, you know, he grew up in the palace, he grew up in Pharaoh's house and stuff, but when he come to realization of who he was or who he is, he denounced the kingship position, because he would have been promoted to one of the pharaohs, you know, if he had stayed in the palace there. But he preferred to renounce all of that, you know, and prefer to be with his kind, with his people, worshiping God with his people, you know, and so forth. So we bless God for your sister Edda as you read that passage. And we see, you know, when you come to the realization of who you are, it can be such a blessing when you really know who you are. You see how God used Moses mightily? Yes, he will use us mightily too when we realize who we are and when we stick with those that we should stick with. Amen. Yes. And so last week we stopped at the 10 plagues. The ten plagues that were up on Egypt. You know, we are seeing where the people of Israel, that's God's chosen people, they cried out for mercy. Because they were in slavery in Egypt, and they cried out to God for mercy. And Almighty God heard their cry and sent a deliverer in the form of Moses. And last week we touched on the fact that Moses had experienced God through the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but the bush wasn't consumed with the fire that was there. You know, and we saw that last week, how Moses had that personal, life-changing experience. And we would look at that as a parallel to us when we first came to Jesus, when we first accept him as Lord and Savior, and what we have committed then unto him. You know, we have seen a parallel there that it's something that keep our faith rooted and really grounded. You know, the first commitment that we make to God, it speaks volume of how we move on forward in him. You know, there is also a chat link in this Zoom, in this Teams meeting. You can always press, if you don't want to come off mute or anything, or if you're in a situation you can't come off mute, you can always press the chat link and I will see, and we all will see your chat on the screen. Amen. Yes. So last week we looked at the first plague that was brought upon Egypt when Moses went there, and it was a plague of turning the River Nile into blood. All the water in Egypt was turned into blood, and killing the fishes. Water was undrinkable for seven whole days. The water was undrinkable. So you know how uncomfortable it is when we don't have any drinking water or when we don't have any water. Some people say they would prefer do without the light more than to do without the water because it's so uncomfortable without the water. Amen. But we see they had no drinking water. The River Nile was turned into blood for 7 whole days, that 1 week. And yet, Pharaoh's hardened his heart. And when we look at the scripture, it told us that Pharaoh hardened his heart because the magician, his magician could have done the same thing. But you know what? His magician could turn the water into blood also. But he couldn't call, Pharaoh couldn't call his magician to make back things normal. Amen? He couldn't call his magician to make things normal. He had to call Moses to fix back things, to make things back the way they were. His magician couldn't reverse it. They could only compound the problem, the existing problem. The next plague that faced Israel, that faced Egypt was the frogs. A massive infestation of frogs emerging from the rivers and waterway, covering the land and entering the homes and building. Can you imagine? Frogs were everywhere, even in Pharaoh's house, in his oven and in his bedroom, on his bed, and even in his food, frogs were. Yet his heart was hardened. And you know why his heart was hardened again? Because his magician, they were able to duplicate the situation. They were able to duplicate the problem. You know, so, but even though they were able to duplicate it, they weren't able to remove it, just like the first plague with the water turning into blood. They weren't able to normalize it. So we have to be careful of people in our life that will compound the problem that we are already experiencing, but they cannot fix it. They cannot solve it. You know, those that would tell you that what you will tell you what to do and not doing it themselves. Those that are quick to tell you to get over it. You know, we are living in a type of generation or a type of world that when you're going through a problem or a situation, you have people that are quick to tell you, get over it. Get over it. You know, people are quick to tell you, spin around several times and you'll snap out of it. Because they have not experienced the problem that you are going through. They had no connection with that situation or with that problem. And so there, it's easy for them to say, get over it. Because they are not where you are. You know, they don't have that godly wisdom in order to guide you through your situation or through your problem. They don't have that wisdom that James speak about. James chapter 3, verse 17, I think. James 3, verse 17, that say the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, full of wisdom, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, in these days, people lack that wisdom, you know, and they would quickly tell you whatever problem you're going through, get over it. Spin around 7 times and you will be out of it. It doesn't work like that. So though Pharaoh's magician, they were able to multiply the frogs. You know, when their magician, Pharaoh called them, they were able to multiply them, make more frogs come, but they weren't able to control it. They weren't able to go away with the frogs. You know, they come and they multiply the frogs. And then Moses, Pharaoh, same one have to call Moses to come remove the frogs. He couldn't tell his magician to remove it. You know, just like doctors, you know, they have a way to control whatever your symptoms or control whatever sickness you may have. Doctors are able to control it. But you're not going to completely get rid of it unless you're touched by the blood of Jesus. You're not going to completely healed unless you're touched by the blood of Jesus. The doctors can put a little sugar coat over it and let you feel like you're going to survive. You know, but they're not going to be able to completely get rid. That's why you see they say that they're practicing and stuff. You know, so whatever ailment, doctors are only there to just put a little shadow over it, but not until Jesus touch you, you are healed. Amen. Remember the woman with issue of blood? She went to many, many physicians, many doctors, and none could have helped her. And I know she, and she's, the Bible says she spent everything that she had. She was now on borderline of being a pauper. And none of them helped her. You know, but when she was touched, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was made whole. Amen? Yes. So Moses interceded and God answered. When Pharaoh saw that there was redemption, when Pharaoh saw that there was redemption, that there was an antidote to remove the frogs, he hardened his heart even more. And he would not let the people of God go. You know? Yes, there are some that would base their wayward action on the mercies of God. You know, you have people in our midst, people living in our midst and stuff, that would base their wayward action on the mercy of God. They refuse to take up the cross and to follow Jesus because their story is that Jesus is merciful and whatever they are going through and whatever, God is able to deliver them from it and stuff. And even though they are unrepentant and still continue in their wayward way, they expect that when they reach to a level of calamity, that Jesus would deliver them, you know. And so they live their life any way, and saying that if they say that if the rain fall, it's going to fall on the just and on the unjust. So whether they live righteous or they don't live righteous, they're going to drink water. They say that if their co-worker get paid, they're going to get paid too. Because you work, you're going to get paid. They say that if their neighbor get healing, they're going to get healing too. You know, because healing is for everyone. As long as they have the money, they can pay the doctor and they can go and get whatever. You know? Yes, but my Bible tells me that in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, I think, verse 4b, say that the goodness of God leads to repentance. So if God is continually good to you, if God is good to you, it should lead you in a place of repentance where you break up your folly ground and turn to him. Amen. Pharaoh did not do that. Pharaoh continued to be disobedient. And we're going to see the end result of what will happen, of how God will speak. How God will speak in his situation so he can release his hardened heart. And even though these are happening, you know, remember that God is the one that has spoken to Moses and sent Moses into Egypt to as a redeemer to get his people out to worship him. And there is it that Moses going to Pharaoh and all these signs and wonders, and yet Pharaoh would not let the people go. But God has already told Moses that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. So it was a surprising to Moses. It didn't cause him to be surprised any at all when all these frogs were out. He's still on his heart. The water turned into blood. He's still on his heart. That didn't do anything to Moses. The reason why God would have done that in the first place, to harden Pharaoh's heart, is to strike at the many gods of Egypt. They were worshiping, they were idol worshippers. They were worshiping everything that they could see with their eyes. Anything they would see, even a stick, they would worship it. Even a animal, if it crawls out, our balls too low, they worship that animal. They worship stick, they worship stones, they worship the sun, the moon, they worship everything apart from God. You know, so God sent these plagues to strike against the many plagues of Egypt. You know, so that Egypt, the Egyptian could come to see how God would have favor on his people, Israel. You know, so yes. So the third plague The third plague that came upon Egypt was lice. God would send lice on them. The dust of the land turned into lice or gnats, affecting people, affecting animals. And it would bite them and a great infestation. You know, look at this now. That we're at the third plague. And plague one and two, they had passed. And the magicians were able to duplicate it. Remember? Turning water into blood. The magicians were able to duplicate it, compounding it, making more from plenty. And the second plague, that was a frog taking over. The magician put more frogs there too, able to duplicate it. But the third plague with the lice, the gnats, that would irritate them and bite them and affect animals and people and everything. The magician weren't able to duplicate it. And you know what the magician said to Pharaoh? When Pharaoh called him to duplicate it, the magician said, "This is the finger of God." They weren't able to duplicate it. They said, "This is the finger of Almighty God." Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. They couldn't duplicate the lies. They look at Pharaoh and say, "This is the finger of Almighty God." They weren't able to do it. No. If the magician could identify the finger of God, you see all the people them bad. If the magician could identify the finger of God, that shows that they are aware of the power of God and that their power is substandard to God's power. They were leading Pharaoh indirectly to a higher power that is high above their magicianal capability, leading them onwards to a power that is above them. They said, "This is the finger of Almighty God. We are not able to do it." That means there is a higher power that everyone, including Pharaoh, is subjected to, that has the final say. That power, the power of Almighty God, has the final say. You know, the magician witnessed to Pharaoh that they cannot manage that lice or that situation at all. But then this is a higher power than theirs. Yet Pharaoh, with all his authority and with all his command in that land, weren't able to see because he was so set in his way and it's going to lead to his own demise. You know, so we see, and then the fourth plague now. The fourth plague, the third plague, lice. The fourth plague, flies. Swarms of flies. And these are not situations that wouldn't enhance anybody. These are situations that would kind of drive you away. It's not favorable situations that were happening down there in Egypt. It was situations that would cause us to... It's not pleasant because flies, who like flies? Nobody likes flies. You know, they carry germs from one place to the other. And it was like a swarm of flies invading the Egyptian houses, causing widespread discomfort and disease. You know, the Lord sent the flies on Egypt. All the Egyptian houses were filled with flies. Even though God's chosen people, the Israelites, living there, they had no flies in their place. God has separated the flies from his people, from the people of Israel. They were living in Goshen, same place in Egypt, but on a separate land. Goshen, they were living down there in Goshen, and no flies could come down there. That goes to show us that in the midst of adversity, in the midst of situation that doesn't look climatized or enticing, God is able to protect his people. Yes, God is able to protect his people. God is able to deliver his people. So though things may be happening around us that doesn't seem welcoming or bearable, God is able to protect us in and through it. You remember the three Hebrew boys? The fire wouldn't be one of your choices to go into. The fiery furnace wouldn't be one of your choices to go into. But God would allow them to go in there so he could deliver them from it. So though we may be where we are now, even in the United States of America, where things are happening minutely and daily and whatever, wave of uncertainty over us all and stuff. We don't know the next move or whatever. But God is able to protect his people. You know what his word said? His word said that the government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Mark that word, the Prince of Peace. So though you're going through a situation, our God is the Prince of Peace and he will make all grace abound unto us all. So we need not worry, nor need not fret, because he's able to deliver, he's able to set free, he's able to lift up. You hear what the word says? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lift up a standard against it. You know, so we can be assured that whatever we are facing, the standard will be lifted up, just like how he lift up the standard in Egypt, so that the people of Israel wouldn't be infested with flies. And he built a barrier round about them, and no fly can cross that barrier. There's a protective coat around his people, and no fly nor no come with their infestation and disease can pass the barrier. So as a child of God, we know that there is a barrier separating us from every element of darkness, and anything that would come to militate against us is under the blood in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, so flies came.
Amen.
But this time he didn't call the magician. The first three plagues, you know, he called the magician to work the little guzu or the little magic. And it's something, you know, the third one, they said this is the finger of God. The first two, they were able to compound the problem. They were able to increase the problem, but not to diminish the problem, not to extinct the problem, but to compound it. What use are they when they are there in your life just to compound the problems that you are going through, just to tell you things that would make believe per se? These men weren't even called when at this time, you know, they didn't even call. Instead, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron, and he said, "Go sacrifice to God within the land." You hear what Pharaoh said? "Go sacrifice to God within the land." That is it, in the land of Egypt. You know, Pharaoh want Moses to go sacrifice to God, not to sacrifice to the magicians or whatever so that they can get more power, more strength, but sacrifice to Almighty God, because he know that there is a greater power than what he's experiencing by these magicians or what he can even conceive. There's something more than what he's seeing with his naked eyes. There's some supernatural power, and he needs that intervention. And he said to Moses and Aaron, "Go sacrifice to your God. Go sacrifice to your God within the land of Egypt." But you know what Moses, in his wisdom, the wisdom that was on Moses and Aaron, Moses said, "No, we cannot do such things. We will not sacrifice to our God in your land, because your land is infested with all sort of idols and all sort of false worshippers and stuff. We won't sacrifice that. We won't sacrifice nothing to our God in this filthy land. You know, we won't do that. And if we even try to do it, the same Egyptians that the flies are up on, the same Egyptians that had to drink bloody water, the same Egyptians that had lice all over them, crouching day and night, is the same ones that are going to stone us if we ever try to make a sacrifice unto God in this land. They're the same one that's going to be violent upon us. You see how they're wicked and set in their ways. Moses is there as a deliverer, a type of Christ. He represents a type of Christ, Moses. Yes, and he's there as their deliverer. And in order for him to deliver, part of delivering, thought of delivering Israel, you know, is also delivering Egypt, because Egypt now is infested with all sorts of calamities. It wasn't affecting the Israelites, you know. Israelites were fine down in Goshen. It was the best part of the land down there, because Joseph would have given them that land, because Joseph was in charge. Joseph was the one who get Israel into Egypt in the first place when they were having some famine in the land that they were. All right. So Moses and Aaron said they won't sacrifice nothing to God down in filthy Egypt, because the Egyptians will stone them. Because the very animals that Moses and Aaron would sacrifice to God for an atonement, because you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remittance of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin without some blood being shed. It's not rock, stone, nor trees that Moses would sacrifice, but it would be a spotless lamb. It would be a lamb without spot nor blemish in those days. So he would catch like maybe a cow. He'd catch like maybe a pigeon. Maybe what was happening in Egypt at then, it would require more than a pigeon or more than a turkey dove and whatever. It would want some bulls. It would want some bulls to atone for all that was happening there. And there, these people in Egypt, they were worshiping the cows. They were worshiping they were worshiping every animal that they, so Moses and Aaron couldn't get to kill any of them down there, because they would kill them to kill their God. How can somebody kill God? You know? Yes, so that was what was happening down there. So they said no. So Pharaoh said, okay, go into the desert, the wilderness, but don't go too far. Don't go too far in the wilderness, because I don't want you to leave me with all these flies upon me and stuff. Nice. So go near. Don't go far away at all, because you have the answer. You have the antidote. You're a type of Christ. You're a type of Redeemer. You will redeem us. You know, don't go too far. Go and do it. And Moses, they did it. They went ahead and they didn't sacrifice any lambs are any animals, but they just interceded, because they had a one-to-one relationship with God, where they can talk to God as we are talking right now. They had a one-to-one experience sharing with God, because they were like a medium between man and God. Yes. So the next one. The next plague that came upon Egypt was the fifth plague was the livestock disease. You know, all the livestock, all the livestock and stuff in Egypt, you know, was struck. That's to include their horses, their donkeys, their camels, their sheep, their goats. It killed a vast number of animals. Their livestock, you know, they were put to death by this plague, by this fifth plague that came up. Animals belong, and you know what? All the animals them that belongs to the Egyptian, they died. But the ones that belong to the Israelites, they were preserved. Nothing happened to them. So while you and I going through this period of dismay, while you and I going through this period of uncertainty, know for sure that no plague that will come up and whatever around you, circumstances around you, will affect you as a child of God, because you are covered under the mighty hand of God. The blood of Jesus covers you and sets you free. So you and I don't need to worry nor need to fret, because God have our backs. He is for us and not against us. Amen. He is our Redeemer. And just like how Moses was sent to get the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, you and I may be in bondage in this country or whichever country you're in and whatever. You know, it seems like you're who anyone ties to you and whatever. But know for sure that the people of God are at liberty. Because the word of God tells us that who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're underneath no bondage. So don't consider yourself to be under siege or anything. You are free because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. There is a liberty that surrounds the people of God that will cause us to be in peace with our soul because we know that our heart yearns for Christ. It yearns for Him because we are seeking Him who is our comfort and our shield day by day, night by night, season by season. He's taking us through victoriously. Amen. So the animals died. The ones in the Israelites, none of them died. Next plague, the sixth plague, it was some painful boils. You know, boils stay. Very painful. You can't move your limbs the way they are. And the places that boils would come to attach themselves, it would be surprising. In your under your arm, you know, it find themselves all about under your knee, under your foot bottom. Everywhere, you know, some places that you would not expect boils to be, and it's very uncomfortable. You know, I don't know how many of you may have a boil already, but it's not something bossy. And one is even though hard to tolerate, but when that boil bursts, is one of the smelliest thing you could ever think of. It smells real bad. You know, can you imagine when you have more than one boils, and this, or you're supposed to be stink? You know, you're supposed to be stink, especially if they burst in different times. And even with that boil that were on the people down in Egypt and whatever, even with that boil, they still, Pharaoh still hardened his heart. He preferred the boil than to just surrender to God. You know, he preferred to have that smelly boil. Amen? You know, and I know he's personally acquainted with the people of the land in Egypt. He knows them because all of them, the River Nile is a common Nile that runs through Egypt. And all of them down there use that River Nile. And the Bible would mention Pharaoh being there early in the morning to freshen up himself and whatever. So he knows what the people are going through, and they have been complaining to him. They have the boils all over, and Pharaoh still didn't relent nor heal, but he continued to be stiff-necked. He continued to really fight, you know, because and you know, one thing that struck me in this study, you know, is that each time the plague would come up on them, you know, Moses would intercede, would act as an intercessor, very good intercessor indeed. And Moses now would let that plague go away. You know, and it would remind me of the people that we live amongst now, the people that are in our land, are the people that we have known or whatever. You know, they would be sick, you know. And you would go there and lay hands on them and you'd pray for them. They're not saved, you know. And you'd pray for them and stuff. And God would be so gracious to touch them and to heal them. And you'd say, okay, after they get their healing, they're going to surrender their life to God. You know, and they seem, when you prayed for them there in that hospital bed or wherever they were at home or whatever, they seem so penitent, so pitiful. You know, and you say, yes, God is really rejoicing for this one that is going to come to Him now. But after they get better and they realize that they're not going to die, the people, them harden their heart. They're tougher than they were before they were sick. They get so, yeah, they do more wicked stuff now that they receive the redemption of our Lord. Than what they even did before. You know, they change like green lizard and you and stuff. They don't want the face of God. They only want the hand of God. They only want to know that God is merciful for them. But I've said it already. I don't know if I've said it on this and this platform. But all that angels do in heaven, night and day, is to worship God, is to bow down and worship Him, give Him thanks and praise, night and day, worship Him, worship, worship, worship. And that's all you and I are going to do when we cross over, when we go into that glory land, when we go into that Beulah land. That's all we're going to do is worship God when we get to heaven, just worship. And if you're not privy, are you so hardened that you cannot worship him while you're here on earth? How, under God's creation, are you going to worship him in heaven? You're not even going to know where to start to worship if you have not cultivated an atmosphere of worship here on earth. This is training ground, preparing us for heaven, people of God. This is training ground, preparing us for heaven. So if you don't know how to worship him here, heaven is going to be so boring for you because you're not going to be able to worship. Worship is going to feel so abnormal because all you're used to is the reveling, the dancing, the partying, and everything that doesn't glorify God. And you live all your years here on earth doing that. How are you going to fit into the glory land? You know, how on earth are you going to fit into the glory land if you're not accustomed to the things of God while you're here on earth? You know, it just gives me a different stance on life, how to really number our days, whether or not we're living a penitent life before God, one that really caused us to be in the center of his will and purpose, and to know that we are no normal people, but we are a people of God. We are called by his purpose, for his purpose, to do his will. It was the other day I was speaking to someone, you know, and I was saying to that person, you know, as that chain of thought that I was coming with, I just lost it, but it will come back. Yeah, I was saying to that person, yeah, I lost that chain of thought, but it will come back. It will come back. Maybe it's not time for you to hear that chain of thought, but God is good, and this is training ground that we are on. Make use of every day. Every minute counts. Amen. We're going to close off here for today. Now it's 9:03. And even though we had some e-cups coming on and stuff, but to God be the glory, we have reached this far. So next week, God's willing, we're going to look at the seventh plague, which is hail. And God's willing, maybe we can get to complete the 10 plagues. I want us to really delve into this plague. And see how people can be really hardened, you know, and oh, you know, what we can get from it so that we ourselves don't fall into the same things that Egypt went through. And you realize that if we are not careful, we have the same type of attitude running about us. God has been so, so good, and yet people are so, so wicked. You have people nowadays that would tell you directly that they are sold out to go to hell. You know, they have no remorse about it. They don't want to make it right. You know, they just don't want to make it right. They just want to live the way they are. And even some men nowadays, they feel as if they surrender their life to God, it make them less than a man. You know, they feel as if it's going to weaken them. But I have been, David would have said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seas begging bread. But the rightful thing for us as a people to do is to really serve God and keep his commandments. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Bless the Lord. Anyone has anything to add or anything to share as we close, as we would ask Sister Sister Kadian to close off for us in prayer. Anyone want to share anything? Remember that this, unlike WhatsApp, when we call on WhatsApp, you'd have to close your mic, because automatically WhatsApp comes on with an open mic so you can speak openly. But with Teams, when you're logged on, your mic is closed and your camera is closed. So those, you'd have to self-activate. It is manual. So if you need to share anything with the group, you can come on now and share. Amen. Amen. All right. So Sister Kadian, are you available?
I like this setup.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sister Elyria. Yes, I think with time, we'll get more used to it, more accustomed to it. But I can see clearly now. I can see clearly. In WhatsApp, it wasn't so clear. The video is clear. You know, the video is clear. The voice is clear. I hope so. I hope that you're hearing me properly and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the voice, yeah, is clear and stuff. I like it. You know, and I think God's willing, we're going to stick with it. And those that couldn't get to come on. And I think that some devices, you don't have to like log in to your Teams. You don't have to create like an account. All you need to do is to just download it and click on the link, and it will take you straight there. Yes. And we'll use the same link over and over, the same link that is there. The WhatsApp group will be still up. We'll use it just to, by way of announcement and stuff. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. So,
good evening, everyone. Yes.
Good evening.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I would like a prayer for myself.
Hallelujah.
Can you pray for me, please? I'm going through a lot.
Amen, Sister Etta. We hear you. Any other prayer requests on the line? Is Sister Kadian here?
If you can pray for my son, Marquis.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Any more prayer requests? Yeah. I'm trying to get Sister Kadian. Yes, she got cut off. Yeah. All right, she's gonna come back on. She's gonna come back on now. Yeah, she's going to take us out in prayer this evening. But God has been good, and we just wanna love on him, and you know, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we may even ask, I think, according to the power that is at work, you know. So we just want to give God thanks. You know, we welcome you all. Welcome you all. I know it's been a challenge, but God is good. God is faithful. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are worthy, mighty God. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is none like you, Lord. None compares to you. You are God all by yourself. And we just continue, mighty God, to bask in your presence, where there is fullness of joy. We are at your right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. We thank you, mighty God, that you love us so much. Yes, mighty God, we thank you that you refer to us as the apple of your eye. You haven't hid anything from us, mighty God, but you have revealed everything to us by even your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are so privilege, mighty God, to be privy with the knowledge of God. Yes, mighty God, in the land of the living, even now. We thank you, mighty God, that you are the one that fights our battle for us. We thank you, mighty God, that you are our Savior and our Deliverer. We thank you, mighty God, that you won't withhold anything that is good from us. If we ask you, mighty God, for bread, you won't give us a serpent. Whatever our needs are, Lord God, we know surely you will supply it. We are not lacking anything, mighty God, but we have everything in common because we are children of the cross. Yes, mighty God, we are no orphans, but we are legitimate children of the cross. And so this evening, mighty God, we know that your hand is not short, that it cannot bless, nor your ear is deaf, that you cannot hear us. But you, O God, we see you, mighty God, in the book of Revelation, moving among the candlesticks. Yes, mighty God, among the church. And so, Lord God, we stand in awe of you this evening because we know, mighty God, that nothing that we desire is above you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your people that are on the line even now. We pray, mighty God, that you will envelop us, yes, Lord, in the other portion of your hand, and you will give us a touch, Lord. A touch we need, Lord God. I pray, mighty God, that you'll reach down your nail-scarred hand and touch a place, yes, mighty God, in the inside of Sister Heather. Even now, mighty God, she asks for prayer. She has been going through some stormy weather, mighty God. I pray, God, that you will build a bridge over troubled water even now. I pray, mighty God, that you will bridge the gap. Yes, mighty God, and you will reach down your nails, God, and you will touch her again and again, Lord God. I pray, mighty God, that the fire of the Holy Ghost will come and sit upon our mighty God and do a new thing in and through our life. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devourer. In the name of Jesus, yes, mighty God, I stand against every foe, everything of darkness. I come against it with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even now. Yes, mighty God, I pray, God, that you will raise her up in Jesus' name. Yes, mighty God, whatever the enemy tried in our life, I count it but null and void. I reverse it in the name of Jesus, and I send back every blow to the sender. In the name of Jesus, I come against every obstacle. I tear down every shadow. Yes, mighty God, I light it up in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that your daughter will be redeemed. Yes, mighty God, a new day has begun in our life even now. I speak it by faith, mighty God. The enemy that she saw yesterday, today they are no more. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, I praise you and I glorify you, Lord, for touching your daughter's life even now. I pray, God, that you surround her with your Shekinah glory. Let your Shekinah presence change the atmosphere that she's in even now. Yes, mighty God, I pray, mighty God, that you speak to our mind, soul, and spirit. Conform it by your blood. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that the anointing that breaks the yoke and brings the deliverance will be our portion. In the name of Jesus, I speak it over this line. In the name of Jesus, reach up, Lord, and touch your daughter even now, Lord. She needs a touch from you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, mighty God, I thank you and I praise the Lord. Yes, mighty God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power of God that work in and through us. And so even now, Lord God, I place her, yes, Lord, at the place where you need her to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray, mighty God, that you will draw by your strength. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Something more, mighty God, for the journey ahead. Yes, mighty God. Drop a word in our spirit, Lord, that is able to keep her through troubled times. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you and I praise you, mighty God. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Sister Luria asks a prayer for her son. I place him under the blood even now. I pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he will intervene in his affairs. Yes, mighty God, whatever fear that he needs, your intervention, I place him before you even now, mighty God. And I pray, God, that you will lift him up, let him stand on a higher ground, and even stable land even now, Lord God. I pray, mighty God, that his mind will be transformed, his mind will be renewed, his spirit, mighty God, will be uplifted. Yes, mighty God, that the things of God will become primary nature to him. Yes, Lord, that he will take you at your word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all other things will be added unto him. I thank you and I praise the mighty God that no weapon formed against him will prosper, and every tongue that rise up against him in judgment is already condemned in the name of Jesus. We stand in agreement, mighty God, and we say no, nothing, mighty God, will take him out. Yes, mighty God, but you, Lord, will be his strength. You will be his shield and his protection, mighty God. Cover him under your blood wherever he is right now, Lord. Let him gravitate to the things of God. Let him gravitate to the things of righteousness. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, whatsoever things are of a good report, let him think on these things, Lord God. Wipe out everything that is unlike you, mighty God. Clean him for your purpose and for your glory, Lord God. Let the light of the holy countenance light upon him, mighty God, and give him peace. Guide his footsteps in your way, mighty God. Work on his heart. Yes, mighty God, break down every barrier, everything that is unlike Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, 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 yes, Lord. Only you know, Lord, only you know, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you are able, mighty God. Yes, Lord, you're able to bring forth that breakthrough and that deliverance that that young man is needed even now. Hallelujah. By your spirit, mighty God, by your spirit, work upon his heart even now, Lord God. Mush down everything, yes, mighty God, that is unlike you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He need you, mighty God, more than ever. He has been going through some stormy weather, mighty God. Only you know, Lord God, the challenges that that young man faces even now. Only you know, mighty God, what is on his mind and his thoughts, mighty God. We come against every thought that is unlike you, mighty God. We bring it into subjection even now. We speak a word over that young man, mighty God. We pray, Holy God, for your covering. We pray, Holy God, for your deliverance. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Jesus, yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. He need you, mighty God. He need you, mighty God, to come true for him even now. Only you know, God, the atmosphere that surrounds that young man even now. Only you know the situation that he faces, mighty God. But even now, Lord God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are able, mighty God. And so, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, angels. Angels, mighty God, angels with drawn sword, Lord God. Angels, mighty God, you cut and clear his path. Yes, mighty God, there are angels that are assigned to him. Even now, Lord, open his spiritual eyes that he will see the mark, the footprints of those angels, mighty God, to hang on to that angel. Yes, mighty God, to take him through. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I pray him through that situation. Even now, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Oh, my
Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a struggle for a mighty God. It's an uphill battle for that young man. It's an uphill battle for that young man. Only you know, oh God, how to explain his story. But it is written, mighty God, on his heart even now. You see how heavy his heart is right now, Lord. You see how heavy his heart is even now in this situation. It's at a breaking point, mighty God. But you come to redeem and to set free. And so I ask, mighty God, that you redeem it even now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, I thank you for his mother. Yes, Lord, I thank you for her that has a discerning spirit to recognize that our son needs prayer. Yes, mighty God, that has a discerning spirit to know that our son is in danger, mighty God. Yes, Lord, and as you make that request, I pray, mighty God, that your spirit will be left indelibly upon our heart, that, Lord God, she will continue to intercede. She will continue to pray for our son and to lift him up for your mighty God, to live a life that is set apart so that our son will see the glory of Jesus shining brighter and brighter in our life and make a difference and make a step of faith, mighty God, knowing, Lord God, that you are the one. Yes, mighty God. Jesus, 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 people of God, people of God. People of God, begin to pray, begin to pray, begin to pray, begin to pray. Hallelujah. Begin to pray, people of God. Begin to pray. This is a son in need. 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 Begin to pray, people of God. It's more, it's more, it's more, it's more, it's more. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Begin to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Only you, Lord. Only you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah.
Yes, mighty God, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, mighty God. You promised, mighty God, to undo every load. You promised, mighty God, to lift up every burden. Yes, mighty God, you promised, Lord God, to keep us in perfect peace. You promised, mighty God, to protect us. Our every move, our be our way, God, and our for God, to be the edge, a wall of protection around and about us. You promised, mighty God, to keep us in the other portion of your hand. Yes, mighty God, you promised to see us through. We need you, mighty God. We need you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I see it, mighty God. I see Jesus, angels, 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 angels. I see Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are worthy, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for that breakthrough. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for intercepting the plans of darkness, the plans of the devil. Thank you for that interception. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God, for that interception. In the name of Jesus, thank you, mighty God, for that interception. Hallelujah. It's divinely planned, strategically planned. I see that, mighty God. I see it, Lord God. I see it, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Lyria, continue to lift up your son to the Lord. He needs a mother's prayer. He needs a mother's prayer. He needs a mother's prayer. Marquis.
Blessing
God
Marquis.
Be the glory, son.
Hallelujah.
To God be the glory, son. Great things he has done. Yes, his name is written all over you. Just take heed and just worship, just worship, just worship. Many battles, Marquis, I speak a word to you. Many battles are won through just worship. Just let go yourself in the spirit of worship. Israel won many battles by just worshiping.
Good night, everybody. I'm going to get this for
work. Okay, sis. Yes, Israel won many battles, Marquis, by just worshiping. Just let your worship be pure, coming from a pure heart, and you see what God will do in your life. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. 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 Yes, amen, I thank Marquis. You all for amen. Coming. Yes, and as we dismiss, just greet.
Thank you for the prayers.
Greet one another. Yes, to God be the glory, sister, Brother Marquis. Yeah. We invite you to come on, sister, Brother Marquis, to come back and give us a testimony, because God is in the midst and is here to do you well. He's not against you, he's for you. You know, and yes. So as we go, just greet each other in the name of Jesus. Sister Katie, bless you, Sister Terry. I see Auntie Joan, Sister Joan, bless you, Sister Dimple. Yes, bless you. I can't see everyone on my screen, you know, but I know you are there, and this wouldn't have been the same without you. I thank God for you coming on. And remember, going forward next week is the same link. Just go back into the WhatsApp chat and click on the link, and it will take you into the teens meeting. You don't need a password, or you don't need anybody to get you into the group. You don't have to wait in the waiting room, because I allowed it. So as you click on it, you come straight in. Nobody has your